You've been listening to Mentoring Matters, Mentoring in Today's Business World with hosts Rainey Petrin and Dave Carson. If you have a question for Rainey, Dave, or their guests, please call us now at 1-866-472-5790. That's 1-866-472-5790. Now, back to Mentoring Matters.
Well, welcome back, everybody. I'm Rainey Petrin, president of Manager Mentors, and joining us at this point is Dave Carson, my co-host from the UK, and, of course, our guest, Nancy Settle Murphy. Dave, welcome. I understand that you changed your time zone. We did not. I guess this year we made a change, and we delayed it a couple weeks. That's probably why we got mixed up. But welcome back.
Yeah, it's 18 minutes past one here in the UK.
There you go. Well, we missed you, but we're glad you're here, Dave.
Yep.
We were, Nancy and I have been speaking about technology, and we were talking about the article that she wrote, that we sent out in our newsletter earlier this week. And just at the break, Nancy, you had brought up a really good point about trust. Would you want to talk a little bit more about that at this point?
Sure. When there's a mentor and a mentoree, and especially if they've either never met or have rarely had any face-to-face interaction, it's very difficult but very critical to cultivate trust between the two people. Very challenging to do that virtually. And so one piece of advice I usually give to clients, if there's any way you can get them face-to-face on a regular basis, might be using, let's say, a business trip or making a side trip on the way to or from somewhere else, that would be really important. But if you can't do that, then there are other ways that you can get to know your partner and let your partner get to know you.
Yeah. Have you had much success, or have you had much experience maybe using video conferencing?
Some of my clients have used video conferencing, especially when they have either never met or just getting to know each other. I do find that the success of that generally is dependent on the quality of the video conferencing tool they use, as well as how accessible is the video conferencing capability. Some people have it resident on their PCs, and others they actually have to go to a facility.
Yeah. I think that's, Dave, I know you may have some points to offer here with regard to the importance of having physical contact in some way, even if it's long distance, as much as possible.
Well, that's certainly right. And I mean, in the early stages of the mentoring program, if it's at all possible for the pairs to meet up, then that would really kick things off. But I remember you saying once, Rennie, it's not the distance, it's the commitment. But I take Nancy's point. How do you build that trust up? And I was just thinking about ourselves, Rennie. You know, we've been emailing and telephoning each other for about 7 years now.
Mm-hmm.
And we meet up once or twice a year, or sometimes we work together. But one of the other things that we do is we share with each other some things we might find of interest. It's really got nothing to do with the job.
Yeah.
And that really kind of sparks another conversation with us. And sometimes we don't talk about work. Sometimes we talk about each other's interests.
Mm-hmm.
Just through an attachment to an email, have a look at this, what your thoughts are. And that really builds another conversation. I'm not sure if Nancy's had any experience of that.
Yeah, I have. That's a really good point. I think it's really important to build in some time, especially in the early conversations, to get to know each other on a different level. And having said that, I'd say if you are from a different national culture, that it's important to tread carefully and understand something enough about that culture to know how disclosing that individual is likely or not likely to be about certain topics, because some are really taboo in certain cultures. But if it's, let's say it's someone of your own culture, I think there's some things that are pretty safe and important to bring up, like home/family life. And again, you need to know what the boundaries are. But I think the best way is, if you're a mentor, is to start bringing up some things yourself, your own aspirations, something about your hobbies, your social life, your goals, your influencers. And then as well, if it's for your mentoree, I think it's important to surface or to somehow give permission to surface certain possibly contentious or very sensitive topics. so that you allow and enable them to bring things up in a safe way?
Yeah, that's really an important point, Nancy, because I think that I do think it is a mentor's responsibility to create that environment and to kind of enable, if you will, the mentee to talk about that. And one of the techniques I suggest to mentors when I'm training them is, you know, the way to get people to sort of open up is for you to open up first. Talk about sort of, well, this is what has happened to me. This is kind of a personal thing I want to share with you to kind of, you know, kind of indicate, you know, that this kind of relationship we can have. And that's one way of easing the transition so that the mentee can then follow that example, if you will. It's like mirroring certain behavior that you want to encourage in the other partner.
Is that along the lines of self-disclosure, Rennie, do you think?
Yes, I think it's a question of vulnerability and self-disclosure. And I think that one of the things that we said in the first segment was the issue of it could be intimidating to be sitting with, even virtually, sitting down with a mentor, mentoree. And so the mentee can often feel, you know, that they can't be as honest and as open yet because they have to build trust, to Nancy's point. So I think that by the mentor, if you will, taking some initiative in that area, it helps to reduce that barrier and that anxiety. But that barrier is there. The problem is that with long-distance relationships, the barrier is a little bit more pronounced because you don't see the person.
Exactly.
You know, so you have to have, in some ways, and Nancy, I don't know how you feel about this, in some ways I feel with long-distance relationships, the personal, that is say, kind of the social bantering that Dave was talking about, probably becomes more important because you need to build a certain comfort zone.
I think it's critical because that's all you have to go by, is that, you know, just those brief windows or glimpses into the other person's life. And so if I'm a mentor, I might talk about what was so hard for me when I was starting up, let's say as a female manager at a big high-tech company when I was the youngest one in the group. So to talk about some of the things I went through that are relevant to what this other person might go through that will be learning and illuminating both about me, but hopefully it will be some information that will help them or inspire or motivate them somehow.
Go ahead. I'm sorry.
Yeah, I just want to say one other thing about seeing. I think it's really important to have some visual notion of what the person looks like, their background, maybe their family. So I really encourage people to share pictures, and maybe it's every so often, of the house and what this season looks like. What is the view outside the window I'm talking to you from? What does my family, my dog look like? Whatever's relevant. But I think that's a pretty simple thing we can do that can have a huge impact.
I think you're absolutely correct. And again, it's a personal connection you try to create when you've got the barrier of not having the physical, which helps. Because, you know, obviously when we see somebody, we're getting all kinds of communication cues, how somebody looks, how somebody, you know, the way their body is situated and so forth. These are all cues that help us in communication. When that important piece is missing, then we've got to kind of supplement that with some other things. And that's kind of the way we can do that.
Right.
You know, that's really, really, really kind of important.
And you know, Rennie, sometimes when we're in mentoring relationship, if it's formal mentoring run by an organization, sometimes we can get carried away with the task in hand, you know, what should we talk about today relating to work. When Nancy's right, there are other things to share as well, and that really eases the whole situation.
Absolutely. You know, I think that's so critical. The other thing is, as we talk about this, one of the questions I always get, and I'd be interested kind of in your reaction, Nancy, and Dave, obviously, share what you're thinking of, but I often get this question. Is it better to be mentored by someone who's nearby, or is it better to be mentored by someone who's long distance, or does it matter?
I think if you are very thoughtful about how you build and cultivate the mentoring relationship, if from a distance, I don't think it matters. I think what matters much more is the level of commitment both parties are willing to give. But usually it is the mentor, in my experience, it's usually the mentor who, tends to renege every now and then or let meetings slide because something else came up. So I think it's more how committed is that mentor and the mentoree to having that relationship, to meeting the commitments, to having their weekly or biweekly meetings. So I think if it's done well, it that it's much less important how close you are and much more important, have you built that trust and the confidence and the respect?
I think that's absolutely correct, Nancy. I think that's really great. Thanks for sharing that. Do you have anything you want to add to that?
Well, you know, I was just thinking that we're talking about building the relationship. I'm just wondering how easy or not it is to close down the relationship when people are mentoring at a distance.
Oh, you mean to end the mentoring relationship?
Yeah.
Gee, that's a really good question. I think it can be tricky either way. I think oftentimes the mentoree grows heavily dependent on that mentor and almost feels betrayed or hurt when the relationship comes to a close.
Yes.
And I think the key right up front is to set ground rules about what are our objectives, what are our goals, when do we know we're done. And if you have that conversation up front and make that level of kind of doneness part of at least every second or third or fourth conversation, then it shouldn't come as a surprise to either one that this relationship as it is coming to a close.
Yes.
I think that one of the things we try to do is we have a process we use in our training, and we generally meet with the mentors or mentees quarterly, and the last quarter, and this could be like a conference call or whatever, we generally go through a process we call winding down or bringing closure to the relationship. But there's a process we recommend people follow to basically at that point be able to end in a way that makes sense to both partners without leaving any uncertainty as to what we do next or discomfort about the relationship. But I think it's really important to know how to end as well as how to begin.
Yes. And I think that's right, and I think we all agree. We position it up front at the training program anyway. You know, there is a lifespan to this pilot program, and we're basically signposting the end almost at the start, really.
Yeah.
People are prepared for it. But, you know, the other thing, Rennie, that we touched on earlier, this whole issue around self-disclosure, and some of my research of late has pointed to the fact that self-disclosure by the mentor really does help in ending the relationship. You know, the mentorees have heard the mentors' pitfalls and issues they've had along the way, and so they, at the end of the relationship, think, you know what, I can do this as well.
Oh.
And I think that's really important, issue around self-disclosure.
Yeah, I think that's really a good point as well. One of the things I did want to share with the audience is, certainly when it comes to using the phone as technology, what I recommend for long-distance relationships is that they end up scheduling appointments that are at least an hour long and usually every other week or so to build this relationship. And I'd like to get to your thoughts on that, but we need to take a break right now. When we come back, we'll continue this interesting conversation.